Let me take just a moment this morning to welcome each one here. Appreciate very much your presence. We have come together this morning to worship God and to glorify His name. And to that end, I hope and pray that you will put your heart into the things that we are doing. And I hope and pray that you will compare what I say against the standard of God's Word, understand that you have a responsibility to know the truth. You know, the mind is wonderful. I'm not talking about the brain itself, the mass, but the mind. The mind will continue to live long after this physical body, including the brain, has decayed and returned back to the dust of the ground. The mind will continue to live and to thrive if we serve God in the hereafter. The mind will live in the hereafter if we do not serve God, but it will be a place of torment. It will be a place of punishment. And so the mind is a wonderful part of who we are. It really defines who we are. And the mind works. The mind works in many ways. You know, this morning we have had an opening prayer. We've had three prayers associated with the Lord's Supper and the giving of our means. We have had four songs, I believe. And now we have an opportunity to take God's Word and to study and to think about and to meditate on those things. But you know, all of this requires a little bit of attention, does it not? How was your attention during the song service or during the prayers? How was your attention while partaking of the Lord's Supper? You know, Eddie tried to bring our minds to that very point. He tried to remind us that we are responsible to be focused on the things that we are doing. And that is exactly right. But I also know it's quite easy for us to lose that attention, that focus, for us to begin to wonder about other things, even while we are trying to think about and focus on the event at hand. We start to think about the Lord's Supper. We think about the death of Jesus Christ and the bread and the body of Jesus Christ. And if we're not careful, our minds can go from there and thinking about other things. Maybe we're thinking about how that unleavened bread represents the body of Christ, and believe it or not, we might then start to think about lunch. Because, again, the bread has that connotation in our minds sometimes. Or we start to think about the fruit of the vine and how that is represents the blood of Jesus Christ, and we get to thinking about how thirsty we are. It's quite easy for us to lose focus, is it not? How well do you control your attention span? Well, it may vary, and it may depend on several factors. Are you excited and motivated about the things you're doing? Are you bored and uninspired? Are you careful and precise, or reckless and distracted? Are you giving your best effort just trying to get by? Are you driven to success, or are you indifferent to the things that you are trying to do? I would say that all of these have some impact on our attention span. Do they not? If I am bored, I am probably going to seek a way out of that by thinking of other things. I don't want to listen to what Terry's saying this morning. I want to think about something else. There are only two possible places we can bestow our spiritual attention. In the passage read a moment ago in the book of Colossians chapter 3, in verse 1 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things on the earth." Set your minds. That word there, minds, means to exercise the mind, that is, entertain or have a sentiment or opinion, by implication, to be mentally disposed more or less earnestly in a certain direction, intensively to interest oneself in. And so we're talking more than just a casual thought process. Set your minds. In other words, you have an intensive interest in those things. You are focused on those things. The things that are above, not on things on the earth. There are reasons for us giving our attention. In the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Think about this passage a moment. Give it your attention. Those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. Again, that definition comes into play. To be mentally disposed. To be intensively interested in. There are people who are disposed mentally to this life and the things it offers. There are people who are motivated greatly by these things, but there are also people who are motivated by the things of the Spirit. If we set our mind on the flesh, Paul says it is death. If we set our mind on the Spirit, he says it is life and peace. And so, there is a reason for us to focus our attention on spiritual things, on the Spirit. There is a benefit. The mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. If you are driven and motivated by the things of this life, then you cannot please God. Note the result of giving our attention to earthly things. In the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 19, their end is destruction, he says. Their God is their belly, and they glorify in their shame with the mind set on earthly things. The mind that focuses on the things of this world, the end is destruction. We must give our undivided attention to God. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 18, in verse 21, the context here, the people of Israel, the people of Judah, they had been serving Baal. In fact, they were trying to serve both God and idols. And Elijah is dealing with this. This is the story where there are 450 prophets of Baal. And you remember their end, do you not? How they were consumed and burned up by the fire of God? But I want you to listen to what is said in verse 21. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, talking about the people of Israel, how long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people did not answer. How long will you go limping between two different opinions? The word there means ambivalence. Divided opinion. In other words, you go either way or you go both ways. And that's exactly what they were trying to do. Elijah said, you need to give your undivided attention to God. If the Lord is God, then put your trust in him. Give him your service. Follow him. If Baal is God, then follow him. But you'll notice the people did not answer. They would not take a stand. And that's when this great test was put to the prophets of Baal. And then they answered when God showed his power. We need to give God our undivided attention. How are we doing this morning in that regard? Has your mind begun to wonder? Have you begun to think about other things? You know, there are moments when we need to give our undivided attention to spiritual matters. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, and verse 25, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. And so as we try to find our way in this life and figure out what we're going to do, how we're going to live, what's going to be important to us, he says you need to keep your eyes looking directly forward. You need to be staring straight ahead. You need to ponder. Look at where you're going. Have you ever been walking along and not seen something in front of you and tripped? Well, that's the idea here. Look where you're going. Look where you're putting your feet. In other words, you need to give life your undivided attention as you try to find your way. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 7 through verse 9. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. I wonder if the people, in their worship to God as they partook of the Lord's Supper, and as they listened to Paul preach, if they were giving him their undivided attention, if they were focused on what he was saying. Remember, Paul was on his way, would be on his way to Rome. And he's meeting with the elders, or he's meeting there with the members, rather. And he is worshiping with them, partaking of the Lord's Supper, teaching them. Do you think they needed to give their undivided attention? There were many lamps in the upper rooms where we were gathered. And a young man named Eutychus, sitting at the window, sank into a deep sleep as Paul talked, still longer. And being overcome by sleep, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. Do you think he needed to be paying attention? Do you think he needed to be focused on what Paul was saying instead of maybe daydreaming and falling asleep? When we worship God, when God's word is being proclaimed, we ought to listen intently on the words. And we ought to compare what is said against God's standard. We ought to be paying attention to those things. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul talks about a living sacrifice. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so the Apostle Paul says, you need to present your lives, that's what he's talking about, your life as a living sacrifice to God. It needs to be holy and acceptable to God. In other words, the Christian's life is one that is set apart. It is one that is unique from the lives of people in this world. It is one that focuses on spiritual things. And we do that by the renewal of our mind. And we do that by testing to make sure that we understand that we discern God's will. All of that takes attention. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, when we aim to please God, we had better be focused. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. The word aim there means to strive earnestly, to make it one's aim or intention. It's more than a casual effort. It is one where we strive earnestly to do something. Do you want to please God? You better be focused. You better give God your undivided attention. There are so many things in life that get in our way of serving God. When you look at the New Testament, you find many are mentioned specifically. Jesus Christ mentioned things like family. Family can get in our way of serving God. Can you imagine that? The people you are closest to? Family can get in our way of serving God. That is the exact point Jesus makes in the book of Matthew chapter 10. Not only that, but the riches and the cares of this world, they can get in our way of serving God. They can draw our attention away. If you aim to please God, then you need to strive earnestly to do that. You need to walk in a manner that is worthy in Colossians 1 in verse 10. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Did you listen to the words here that require some attention? To walk. It's not going from one place to another. He's talking about our lifestyle again. It reminds us a little bit of what was said by Paul in Romans chapter 12 we read a moment ago. Your walk in life, in other words. It needs to be in a manner that is worthy of the Lord. One that fully pleases God. It needs to be one that bears fruit and increases in knowledge. These things do not happen by chance. You have to be focused on doing these. Are you doing good work for the Lord? I can tell you this, if you're not, it's because your focus is somewhere else. You have to be focused on doing that good work. You're not here today by accident. You're here today because you made that choice. That's part of the focus. If you were paying attention in the song service, if you were paying attention as we partook of the Lord's Supper, it wasn't by accident. You made a choice to do that. If you are growing in knowledge of God, it doesn't come, believe it or not, just by the little bit of time that you spend here. This may serve as a foundation. It may be a basis to grow on. But let me tell you something. You cannot grow as you need to, as you should, spiritually, just by the little bit of time that we spend together. First of all, you're not going to remember half of what I said this morning. In a week, 2 weeks, maybe even by this afternoon. And so the only way that the things we're talking about, the only way that study does us any good is if we take it outside of this place. And again, I am not minimizing the time we spend together. I'm not suggesting that we can serve God and not spend time together. But I'm telling you that if you're going to grow and increase in knowledge, it's because you are focused in that direction. You have to run with endurance the race that is set before us. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run, now listen, with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. And so, if I'm going to run the race set before me, the race that every child of God, every faithful Christian must run, then I must do so with endurance. The word endurance there, according to Thayer, means steadfastness, consistency, endurance. In the New Testament, the characteristic of a man who has not swerved from his deliberate, you get that? Deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. Not an accident. It is a deliberate purpose. We tell ourselves and then we follow through with what needs to be done. It's easy to acknowledge what we need to do. I can tell myself I need to do something all day, every day, for weeks and months and never get it done. There has to be purpose. He also talks about the idea of looking, does he not? Looking means to turn the eyes away from other things and fix them on something. And so we cannot allow ourselves to be turned away from what we ought to be fixed on. In Romans 8 and verse 25. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. We wait for it with patience. Heaven is still in the future. The second coming of Jesus has not taken place. We are waiting for that time. But you know, waiting takes effort, especially waiting patiently for something. Your young children, if you are in the habit of buying them birthday presents, and they get closer and closer to that day, and they know that there's going to be a little party, is it hard for them to wait? And you have to remind them, don't you? No, we're going to wait. Your birthday's not today, it's next week. It's next Monday. And so we encourage them to wait. And we make them wait. But you know, there has to come a point in time when we ourselves have that kind of focus, that kind of attention, where we make those decisions on our own. We also need to be steadfast in the persecutions that we face in this life. And we need to give that our undivided attention. In the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing, listen, is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and in the afflictions that you are enduring. Again, did you hear the words that indicate the need for attention? Steadiness. He says, because your faith is growing abundantly. Not a little bit. It is superabounding. It is overflowing. And the love that you have for one another, that's increasing. It's getting bigger. He says, I boast about you for your steadfastness. They were a rock. They held on to their faith, even in the midst of persecution. If you're going to overcome even the things that we have to in our day and time in this country, there has to be a purpose in mind. There has to be a focus and intent on doing these things. Because you're going to be challenged. There will be times when people will make fun of you, when people will encourage you to do wrong, and that requires attention. Undivided attention. If we're going to receive what is promised, we have to give it our attention. In Hebrews 10, verse 36, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. So again, the idea there is to endure, but again, it is purposeful. It is something that we plan to do. In the book of James, chapter 1, and chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, the testing of your faith requires attention. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. When your faith is tried and you overcome that, you grow. You mature. You do better. And so when we look at our lives as Christians, what we find is that it requires our undivided attention. We cannot approach our faith and Christianity casually. We cannot act as if there's nothing to this life. We cannot act as if the Christian life is easy. You have to be focused and purposed in your effort to serve God. So what kind of attention do we have? Well, to be honest, there are times when my attention is not what it should be. There are times when my attention fluctuates. It's up, it's down. There are many variables, many factors as to what's taking place. But the point is, we've got to do better. The point is, we need to be able to focus a little bit better. Do you ever find yourself sitting down with the intent of reading the Bible? And maybe you said, well, I'm going to read X amount of chapters. I'm going to follow this yearly Bible plan. And so this yearly Bible plan says, well, on this date, I need to read this many chapters from this book and this many chapters from that book. Have you ever found yourself sitting down and getting a little bored or a little tired or just maybe not your heart in it and you give up on it? Have you ever tried praying to God? And I'll tell you something. This is something that I have to fight and struggle with sometimes. But have you ever found yourself praying to God and then again your mind begins to go in all kinds of different directions? It takes focus. It takes attention. And if we're going to serve God, we have to be able to develop that. In this afternoon's lesson, we're going to talk about some ways, some biblical ways, we can improve our attention span, how we can focus better. None of them are secretive. They're all found in God's Word. Because I believe that if we want to focus better, there are steps, things we can do biblically that will help us to get to that point. We're always going to have to fight our minds wandering. You know, we have about 5 minutes before services on Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon. And that's for the purpose of getting our minds focused. Sometimes we do a pretty good job of that. Sometimes we don't. But again, I ask the question, how good are you at staying on track, staying on the focus, the things that you're trying to do? If you're going to serve God, we've got to find a way to do that. I'm not going to preach to midnight this morning. You know, I think that's the first amen I've gotten this morning, too. But I hope and pray that you have stayed focused. And clearly, some of you have amen in that part. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, I hope and pray this morning that you'll make your life right with God, that you do that by believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, by turning your heart to Him in repentance, and by making that great confession of who Jesus Christ is, and then being immersed or baptized in water for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God and maybe your attention has wavered a little bit, then come back. Refocus yourself. If you need to respond in some public way, do so. Together we stand and sing.